This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Where do you keep your Oscar?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, first, when Curry Harry's being asked the Oscar question.
Yeah, where do you keep them these days?
I, you know, as you go down the stairs in my house, there's like a shelves right in the stairwell as you walk down, and it's sitting right there.
Everyone pick it up. Everyone wants to pick it up and look at it.
Not everybody, but some people do ask to pick it up. They want to see how heavy it is, you know, what it's like, you know.
So it's not behind glass, it doesn't have a spotlight, and music doesn't play.
Oh, no, I haven't done that yet.
So will you be on February 24th on stage at the Kodak Theater to give the Best Actress Oscar this year?
I hope so. It depends. I mean, the strike isn't... still on? Yeah, I think it seems like the strike's about to be over, but until they say that, I don't know.
Now, with this movie, and I saw, is it The Air I Breathe?
The Air I Breathe, yeah.
Which is just a terrific piece of work that you do, and they're both...
Oh, cool.
They're both small, you know, kind of smaller films with very intense emotional workouts for you. Can you talk about what you're... Were they done before the Oscar, both of these films?
Yeah, both of them were done before... Yeah, before the movie act for Last King came out, you know, but the characters. I mean, it was fun. I mean, both of them were shot in Mexico City too.
Wow.
Those two movies.
Okay.
So I was there almost like about 5 or 6 months, you know, doing both of those movies that year.
With this film, you do the scenes over and over and over again from other people's point of view, from your point of view.
Uh-huh.
How hard was that? Did you try and keep the continuity together, or do them the same, or just shade them differently?
I didn't try to change the performance really. I mean, I kept the same attitude pretty much throughout most of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's always difficult when you're like continually doing things over and over again for days and days. Particularly some of the because there's so much action in the movie. Because you know, it's really you know, just the running through the streets of Mexico from different points of view, you know, day on and day on and day on. But no, it wasn't difficult in the acting part of it. It was the same.
What criteria do you use when choosing a role, and have you gotten more selective since you won the Oscar?
I've always tried to find really interesting characters and parts, and that's the way I've kind of continued to do it as we've been going along. You know, I think if I try to shift that, I'm gonna screw up. If I start to second guess myself, if I like feel like I should do a part or play a character and stuff.
What makes a character interesting for you?
Usually it's the journey that he's going on. If it's something that I'm gonna learn from it, something new for me to do. It's like even on this part, it's like. This is simplicity about this character in a way. There's danger inside of it to me, you know, because of that. Because I don't really feel like when I'm doing it that I'm like maybe connected completely. I'm not quite sure if I'm playing it right, you know what I mean? Whereas like other characters where I'm totally engulfed by a different energy and different way of speaking and different way, you kind of, you feel like you're doing something, you know what I mean? Like you're creating something. So it's a... There's always a different thing from each one.
Did the Oscar make a big difference?
I mean, I have a lot of opportunities to act in movies. I mean, I was working before, but now it's like, you know,
yep.
So many.
We're talking about you as Forrest Whitaker director, and we don't seem to be talking about that as much anymore. Is that a result of being busy? Is that having the Oscar, or is just not finding the right thing to do at this point?
You know, I decided that the next thing I direct, I'd have to be a really personal kind of thing, something that I really connect to, probably a different type of film even, you know, and so I haven't found that, and I've been trying to develop a few things on my own, and hopefully I'll get something right, you know, to do it next year, hopefully. But I've never directed more than every 3-4 years anyway. Like, it was always like... 3-4 year stretch between movies. So it's about time right now.
Are you still doing the Repossession Mambo with Jude Law?
I finished it.
Oh, really? When was that? Last week or?
Last fall?
That far back?
Like the beginning of this year.
Oh, beginning. I was going to say, it wasn't that far.
It was a long process. We finished it, and we finished up, mostly we're in Toronto, and then we finished up in Miami.
Can you tell a little bit about it? What are you playing that?
I play a repossession guy. The movie kind of deals with healthcare in a weird way because me and Jude are best friends, and it's about the breakup of our relationship. But we repossess body parts that people have bought to sustain their life, you know. And so that's, and then all of a sudden he gets a break of consciousness because of a health crisis in his own life.
Yeah.
And I have to get him straight. You know?
What about this? I don't know if it's still called the Night Watchman movie.
It's called Street Kings.
Okay.
It's coming out in April.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's about police corruption in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I play the head of sort of the crime family, which of the police. I'm the head of the cop who runs all of that. And Keanu plays like my enforcer. And it's about him sort of his eyes opening up to what it is that I've had him doing for the last number of years as I've sort of protected him and groomed him and moved him along. It's a very intense piece. I just saw it a couple of days ago. I really like the movie. It's a really, really powerful movie.
And it's based on the Rampart scandal?
Somewhat. I mean, it definitely is like the sort of Rampart type police. Yeah.
So did you get help from the LAPD on that?
There was like advisors who had like left the force, who were working on it.
Why did they leave the force exactly?
They weren't. It wasn't because of corruption. Some of them were like lifetime cops and stuff that were working really strongly with Keanu too, just to give their advice and talk to you about it. And they even show you pictures. Sometimes like there were cops who would actually show us pictures of them doing, you know, really brutal things, actually, to like people they were interrogating and stuff. Stuff they had almost like trophies for themselves.
Wow. Since you're talking a little bit about other projects, could I ask you about Where the Wild Things Are and what the experience was like working with Spike Jonze?
I love working with Spike. That was different because what happened, we rehearsed the piece for like quite a few months, I think, in the beginning we rehearsed it, and then they put a camera on each one of us and followed us. So there would be like about 8 cameras following all the actors as we're like going through the scenes and stuff. So as Wild Things, like if there was like a foam tree or something, you'd use a foam tree, you'd use like bread, you'd have bread fights instead of rock fights. And they were filming all of that. And then when they went to Australia to actually film the puppets or whatever, the people studied our movements and studied our gestures and stuff and imitated us going through our movements and stuff. And then the facial stuff they got, because he would even like when we recorded, he would be recording our faces and stuff. They were gonna try to implement that in CG into the characters' faces.
I heard you had a hell of a cast working with those foam things when you guys were rehearsing. Could you talk about working with all those other people? And I also heard some of the Jackass guys were working with you.
No, I mean, not really. I mean, we started off first. We went up to the to a mountain near Spike's house, and we had like dodgeball fights, you know. And we would be on teams. And then when we went into, he kind of rented out this entire space, and inside of there, they built like this sort of foam world, and we just started getting closer and doing improvs and figuring out how we'd lay on each other and move around each other. And then slowly he decided to start filming us doing it. And we would reenact everything, you know, from drawing in the sand to, as I say, like the fights that we would have amongst each other and stuff.
When you have an experience that's that sort of left of center, how does it impact you when you go back into approaching the rest of your career? Does it change? Do you look for more, like, of those kinds of experiences?
I had a great time working on it. It was kind of crazy, you know. I mean, I played Ira, and he's kind of like the biggest wild thing, you know, as far as physical size and stuff. And so they got this giant padded stomach for me, and I'd be moving around and figuring out how he talks and stuff. So it was like playing a character in any movie, just like going through rehearsals and stuff. And then they shot us.
But you don't play dodgeball on every movie, right?
I guess we would if we were, you know, because we're playing, in the movie we're playing, we're having rock fights. Oh. So it was just rehearsing us, figuring out how to be on teams and how to, like, how we would be chasing, how we would be hiding from each other, the way we would be talking to each other. Okay. And so then when he actually shot it, they just got these big barrels of bread, like rolls, and then we were just throwing rolls at each other and fighting and doing stuff like
how
that.
How good are your dodgeball?
I was pretty good. Yeah.
And you, this film, you represent kind of the non-political character, mm-hmm. viewpoint. What did you think is humanity-wise as a non-political person? What did your character add to this film, into the viewpoint or vantage point?
To vanish where, I mean, I think he represents to every man. He represents, like, the normal citizen who gets caught up in, like, the politics of the world and stuff. And I think for him, he's a guy who's just, like, trying to find his life again. He's lost, you know. He's breaking up with his wife, and he's leaving his kid, and he goes there to try to find passion, to, like, feel involved. He doesn't feel like his life is really that important, you know. And all of a sudden, he's caught up in something that makes him sort of important, and he ends up having this Zabruta tape, and he's like, starts to get caught into it, you know, and he realizes that he will step up if he's put in that situation, and his humanity is what's most important, and I think that's what he represents about, you know, humanity, about not walking by a kid who's like crying in the middle of a bomb zone, but stepping up, you know. And finds out that his life is important, and that his family is important, and that his love for them is the most important thing. And I think that's what he represents, that awareness, that coming to awareness of people.
Have you heard from any of Idi Amin's children?
Actually, you know, I went back to Uganda after, so...
after
to show
the movie came out?
Yeah, to show the film.
Yeah.
And, I did, I've heard from... I've gotten messages from one of his daughters, and you know, they seem to really like the film.
What was the reaction to the movie in Uganda?
It was really extremely positive. They loved the movie. I first had to show it to Museveni and the president of Uganda and the president of Tanzania and the cabinets and stuff. And so they saw the film, and that was probably the toughest audience so far for me. You know?
Were you scared?
I was nervous because Museveni was fighting against Idi Amin, and you know, he was a rebel forces, and so his whole family had been exiled by him. Wow. And so they sent me next to his general. I was sitting next to Idi Amin's general, who was now like a, you know. So I was they let other people were sitting down below, but they made, you know, kind of put me in the middle. And then when it's over, nobody can really respond because they have to wait to the president to respond, you know. And so you're like, oh, did he like it? You know, his wife was really upset, but he did like the film, and he talked about the film. He went up in a very diplomatic way and talked about it and stuff. And,
so you've got no fear of critics now after that.
I tell you, that I was like tense. I have to be honest, you know. So, but it worked out. And then I showed it to the crew, the casting crew. The next night.
Oh, cool. So.
Which do you find harder to do as an actor? To play someone like Amin, who's like got a lot of power, or to play someone with more power than you'll ever have, or with someone with less power, such as a character in Vanish, like, who is very everymanish? Which is a bigger stretch? Which is harder emotionally?
Like I say, sometimes like when you're playing like characters like... where you speak a certain way and move a certain way, at least you know what you can hold on to. You at least know what you're looking to find and do. Sometimes a character that feels more amorphous, you're like really trying to be specific enough with them, and that can be tough, you know. And sometimes those kind of characters are hard to get out of your system because you don't really know or realize that you're like the little things they do are normal, you know. So it's not as easy recognizable that you're like behaving and looking down a lot or doing, you know what I mean, because they're acceptable traits, you know. But every character has, you know, different challenges. That's kind of, for me, that's the whole point of like why I go from different types of roles. It's for a new challenge.
So are you filming anything right now, or do you have anything coming up?
I'm going to do this movie called Patriots in April, which is a... it's a true story about a coach in New Orleans during and right after Katrina, and about the displacement of all of his players and them trying to find their lives and stuff, and ultimately this coach who brings them all back together and wins the championship. They haven't cast the rest of the movie, but we start April 15th.
Coach, what type of team?
Basketball. Yeah, it's a true story.
It is a true story, so it's big. Did you say it's a true story?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're playing somebody again. Have you talked to the person, and really are you?
I haven't started my work yet.
Oh, yeah.
But he will be doing that, I take it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping that he'll help me out a lot. You know?
Forrest, you keep coming back to this theme of challenges in your work. Made me curious if there's anything as an actor, as a director, that you've wanted to tackle and just haven't got an opportunity to so far.
I don't really have anything like the specific thing. I think directing wise, I mean, I do want to play around with like more visceral kind of film, you know, like a really emotionally aggressive, visceral film that has to say something about the human condition. You know, I think the one I'm hopefully going to do next called Better Angels. I don't know if the script will turn out. Is deals with that. It deals with a journalist who goes into a place to interview a man who's like a messiah character who's like fighting the country with a team of children soldiers. And it's about this journalist deciding when he needs to step in and stuff. So,
would you act in it as well, or do you think you'll just direct it and not? You know?
Depends on how the script turns. But I mean, I've always in the past not wanted. I've never acted in anything I've done. Mm-hmm. But I think I feel more comfortable directing now. I may be inside the film as well. I think.
Being a director, when you read the script, did you think this is a nightmare to direct? And were you ever worried about Peter directing because he'd only done one other film?
No, he was like the main reason. One of the main reasons why I wanted to do it. I really liked his movie Omak, you know, which is like such a great movie about this bombing in this little Irish town, right. You know. And I really liked the way he dealt with the performances and stuff. And so when I was really excited to get to meet him. It is a very complicated structure, you know, and you know, that's his challenge. You know?
A lot of us didn't get to talk to you when you were the Great Debaters, and I wanted to know what was it like working with Denzel.
I loved working with him. I think he has like really clear vision. He works really good with his crew. You know, you go in early and you start rehearsing, and a lot of times he even put us in the space to rehearse in the house. Like the scene between me and my son, we had rehearsed that inside of the living room area and stuff way before we ever shot it, you know, and gives you material and things like that. And he genuinely was enjoying himself, like, as he was directing the movie. So it was a great, I was really glad to get to do it.
Did you ever think, like, all of us watching, that this Denzel Whitaker kid, he's got to be related to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but not only, you know, an incredible resemblance, but, you know, God, that kid can act.
He did a great job. He's amazing. All the young kids in the movie are amazing. Yeah. He carries the movie.
I mean, have you and his father, like, checked your genealogical trees just to see if somewhere way back there?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Are you disappointed that it didn't connect more with people? A lot of us were expecting it to show up on Best Picture list, but it just didn't connect the way it should have, dude.
And I think it's a beautiful movie.
I think so
it's got so much heart and it's like so much hope, and it's beautifully shot. And I think the actors are really, really great performances in it. So,
you know, this marketing snafu, you think?
Yeah, I wish more people had got to see the movie. Yeah. I really do.
Do you know what you're doing next now? Did we ask
that? Oh, yeah, the Patriots.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Wake up.
Time for one more.
Do you ever get confused, you know, in all the retakes of the same scenes? You know, like, well, where am I at now and what am I doing now? Was that ever mind-boggling?
Not so much, you know. Yeah. I think it was more a logistical thing for Peter and for, like, the producers and stuff, because just trying to keep those crowds together and putting the right people behind people and stuff for months on end.
Was there a plus to constantly replaying the same scene over and over again, maybe slightly different?
It was kind of like I said, it's just like staying in the same behavior and stuff. That wasn't difficult. It was actually good.
What about with the little camera looking at the video stuff? Was that all added?
I like that camera.
Later or?
I was hoping that they would let me use the video that I had. Yeah, but they were using.
Do they let you keep the camera?
Yeah.
They did?
Thank you guys.
Great. Thanks a lot, Boris.
Thanks a lot.